This is Justin Dion. You're listening to this week's Know the Scene with our special guests, Mark and Maggie O'Connor.
All right, live in the studio. One, two, three.
Thank you guys so much.
Yeah.
So I had to let that ring, sit for a minute, you know? Thank y'all. That was Wildflowers.
Yeah,
by off
Dolly
the brand
Parton.
New record.
Yeah, our new record, Life After Life. And it's coming out here in a couple weeks. We've got some advanced copies in the studio right here. We got the CD and the LP vinyl.
Yes.
Which we're really excited about. They just shipped to our house, our copies, and And we'll have them on the road with us. We're doing a whole spring tour of album release concerts, Maggie and I, across the country, and including right here in Cornelius,
yes,
Charlotte area, at the Kane Center for the Arts.
Yes, sir.
May 3rd.
Coming back.
Yeah.
Coming back.
Our second performance in that beautiful new performance hall that you curate and book all the stuff. And
yes, sir.
We're glad to be with you.
We're honored to have you guys. As always, have you back. Honored to have you even the first time. Honored to have you back. And for this special, for such a special occasion too, as an album release,
yeah,
you know, tour. Like, that's such a special thing for us to get to have. So we're grateful to have you guys. Mark and Maggie O'Connor, obviously, as you all can tell, live in the studio today, here coming to, as Mark was mentioning, Kane Center for the Arts, coming on May the 3rd.
Yeah, 7:30.
That's right, 7:30 show, kanearts.org. You can get those tickets, everybody. So yeah, they're gonna be with us all day. We're gonna listen to some more music and chat. How are you guys prepping right now? You're about to go back. You said you're leaving tomorrow?
Yeah, we're leaving. It's just in a couple days for Idaho. That's going to be our first kind of pre-release concert for the album. And, you know, preparing for this, actually, it's been going on for 4 years. This is a four-year project. We started writing songs for this album during the pandemic, and working up a few of our favorite covers, like Dolly Parton's Wildflowers. And then we started to workshop them online with our concerts, Mondays with Mark and Maggie, during the pandemic.
Yep, I was going to ask about that.
And we were on for 70 Mondays in a row without interruption, right from our living room. And so by the time we ended up getting out of the pandemic and getting off of our 70 Mondays with Mark and Maggie, we had a whole album's worth. Well, we had a lot of songs, and then we edited them down. We picked our favorites, and then we headed over to Nashville, still wearing masks in the studio, according to their requirements.
Yeah.
But we recorded this album in the studio in Nashville just after the pandemic was winding down. And we were talking just before we went on air, but the studio was still warm with Robert Plant and Alison Krauss just having finished their album. And they were in there for several weeks. And so we ended up using their engineers and even their bass player, which is happens to be one of our very favorite bass players, Dennis Crouch. Like everything, all the dials were set up sweet in that room.
That's nice.
The Sound Emporium A, which is a history recording studio. I mean, it's been Sound Emporium probably since the 80s. And before that, it was called Jack's Tracks. And that was named after a guy named Jack Clement, who engineered Elvis's and Johnny Cash's first recordings at Sun Records in Memphis.
Wow.
So that was his studio. It is still there. It's under the name Sound Emporium now. But we got the big room. We were thinking about, well, maybe we should get the small room. No, let's splurge. Let's get the big room.
Yeah.
Room A. And we got a great sound in there. And yeah, we came with a bunch of original songs, and Maggie's singing great throughout.
Yeah, it was an honor to, I mean, haven't you recorded some other albums in that room?
Oh yeah. I mean, we picked that out, that studio, because I'd been in there many times.
Yeah.
Actually, it was one of my favorite studios to play in. And Justin, you were talking about an older album of mine called Appalachia Waltz.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Appalachia Waltz, according to what you just said a few minutes ago, so I'm going to hold you to it, helped you graduate.
It did.
From college.
It absolutely did.
That was your listening soundtrack.
Yes, for my studies. For my study time. It was absolutely my study time. We're going to have to take a quick break, and we're going to come back. I want to talk more about Appalachia Waltz, talk more about the new album coming out as well, and the tour. Know the Scene coming right back. All right, we're back. We're back, everybody. Here with Mark and Maggie O'Connor, getting a very special show we have today. Justin Dion, your host here for Know the Scene. We were just talking before the break. Mark had mentioned Appalachia Waltz, which I told him when he came in, I said, I have to thank you if I don't forget, because when I was an undergraduate, that was like one of my core studying albums. And it's just such a beautiful, well thought through. I mean, everything, just great, great record in general, just to listen to anytime. I mean, even just you know, I mean, obviously I'm from North Carolina, you know, we're all fans of the Carolinas and, you know, I could just be up in the mountains sitting on a porch, just, I don't care what time of day it is, just listening to that record, you know, and it's just, it's so good. It's so good.
Well, the same studio that we recorded our new album in, Life After Life, over in Nashville, we recorded Appalachia Waltz album in that same studio.
Oh, wow.
Studio A. I've had good luck in that room.
There you go.
So Studio A, that was 1994 that we recorded that.
Wow.
And it was released in 95. And it was with the great world-renowned cellist Yo-Yo Ma. And he ended up coming to Nashville and he wanted to record his quote country album, sort of like Beyonce.
Sure.
Like 30 years earlier.
Sure.
I mean, who doesn't want to record one, at least one country album?
Yeah.
You know, in their career. I mean, like, it's been going on, you know, for a long time. And it's like, you know, everybody tries.
Well, this, you know, country music is, you know, I mean, well, all songs, but especially country music. I've talked about this with a couple of artists we've talked, you know, the storytelling.
Yeah.
And Appalachia Waltz may not have lyrics, but it tells a story.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
You know?
Yeah, it does. I mean, you know, I poured myself into the writing for that project. I wrote the title track, Appalachia Waltz.
Yes.
And actually, talking about an interesting story, I was writing a whole nother piece during that time. I was writing a concerto. And then all of a sudden, it was like an episode just blew through the window, like a breeze carrying this tune. And I was in a cabin in, of all places, New Mexico, writing. And all of a sudden, I was like, the music took me right to Appalachia, you know, being in the desert like that I was, you know, like just, and that's the strength of music. It can transport you to somewhere else that that you perhaps want to be, you know, and can't get to right now. But
that's
you
right.
can get there musically.
Exactly.
Artistically. So as a composer and a writer of music, that's what was happening. And that's what happens a lot. I use music to transport myself to another place. And usually it's a more hopeful place, you know,
right.
More optimism and future, you know, wishes come true through music, I think. So, and that's on the writing end, but it's also on the receiving end, because we were talking about how that inspired you, that album inspired you as well. To do better.
Absolutely, right? Yes.
To study harder.
That's right. Yes. Yes. To stay, or to stay focused, you know, and stay in that zone and stay focused on what's going on. So yeah, I love that record. I love but you know, all of your music and your music together, like both of you, it's beautiful. I mean, it's just so
Thank
good.
Thank you. I think we draw a lot from Mark's history of kind of bringing different genres together. Because, you know, that Appalachia Waltz project, it really fused classical music and Americana, all these fiddling styles. And so, you know, we both have that in our own personal histories of having a classical background and also all this folk music and bluegrass. And so we've taken our lived experiences and, you know, what we've had as a married couple for 10 years now.
Ah, congratulations.
Thank you.
10 years we've been doing this.
And we've been playing music the whole time.
Yeah,
that's great.
And so this project is really the culmination of
A lot of
our story time, together.
Yeah, our story.
There's a lot of layers, a lot of musical references too. I mean, there's a lot of strings on our recording too that kind of, I'm sure, have been inspired by that Appalachia Waltz album.
Maggie was inspired by all that.
Yeah. I mean, when I was in school, it inspired me to go to school for violin, knowing that you could do both at a high level and create something new, create a new kind of music, you know, at the highest level. You can
right.
be a classical player. You can also be a folk musician and bluegrass.
See both fiddling and
fiddling.
Violin.
Yeah, you can do it all.
Word.
Yeah.
That's exactly right. I love that. Yeah. So I think, were you guys going to play another one for us?
Yeah, we're going to do, let's do the title track of our new album, Life After Life. And this really is about how life just unfolds in chapters, and it just comes at you in waves.
Kind of like what we were talking about.
Yeah. And everybody has a life full of chapters and how you address them. And I got to write this one with a great Grammy-winning songwriter, Joe Henry. And he was just amazing with his lyrics. And I set it to music. And it's one of our favorites. And it's the title track. And we named this album Life After Life because, Maggie, you kind of explain what Life After Life means so well to us.
Yeah, I mean, like, Mark's lived so many lifetimes as a musician in his career. He's done so many different things. So right. It feels like a lot of lifetimes in that respect. And so now, you know, our life together is kind of life after life. That's one way to look at it. I'm sure there's a lot of other layers we can peel back as well.
Yep. You can interpret how you wish. All right. Live in the studio.
That's right. Thanks, live after live in the studio. Life after life. Mark and Maggie O'Connor.
1, 2, 3, 4.
All out of the air, calling his name to for kingdom come. Cheer the curtain rolling down, if all crawling on the ground isn't sacred work under the sun. My hat is standing upside down for all the pennies have been found, raining all around your feet and mine. My cape was made of someone's rag. After you.
Beautiful, wonderful. Thank you. Again, that's Life After Life, the title track off Mark and Maggie O'Connor's new record, Life After Life. And if you buy the LP, if you're an LP person like me, it's the last track on side A, which is the perfect place for the title track.
Yeah.
Right where it should go.
We think so.
Like that, you know. No, I like that's kind of what I think about an LP. The title track, boop, can hit right there. It just hits that nice little point on the end of side A, and you're like, oh, okay, now side B. So yeah, great. Thank you guys for performing that. We're gonna go to another break. Come right back, Know the Scene.
All right.
Welcome back, everybody, to this week's episode of Know the Scene. Justin Dionne here with Mark and Maggie O'Connor. Again, they are coming to play as part of their album, new album release tour. They're coming to play at Kane Center for the Arts on May the 3rd, 7:30 p.m. Get those tickets. If you may remember, if you're listening, Mark and Maggie were last at Kane Center at Christmas time. We did their Christmas show, which was wonderful.
And
it sold out.
Yeah.
Yes, an Appalachian Christmas. And it sold out. So that means get your tickets to May 3rd.
Awesome.
Get your tickets to May 3rd. Always wonderful to have them in the theater. I think you guys make our room sound amazing.
Well, you know, when we're an acoustic act, you know, we play these beautiful acoustic instruments. Maggie's got the violin, the fiddle there. And then I've got this guitar, flat picking guitar. And we have other instruments.
I
brought a fiddle and I'll have the mandolin there at the show. And we sing and we do instrumentals. We'll play Appalachian Waltz, by the way, on that show. We're going to do a bunch of stuff from the new album, and then we're going to do also some of our older material, mix it up. But yeah, it's great to have a new album out. Believe it or not, this is this is Maggie's first LP vinyl that we've released. We've made a CD together, a couple of CDs, but this is Maggie's first vinyl 12-inch LP.
Oh,
this is my first in a long time. The last time
this
I released
your first retro.
Yeah, this is the first vinyl I released since '89.
Wow, that way it's on a comeback. I mean, vinyl is on a comeback. I think what were the second or third year in a row of vinyl sales like outpacing
CDs, right?
Anything like that, which is so interesting, right? Yeah. Well, I think for me, and I'm going to describe it to everyone because they're listening. But if you're watching online, you can see how Bill will help me with showing some of the. Yeah, there you go. You can see some of the pieces. I have to say, congratulations on a very well thought out and designed LP experience. Because that's one of the things I like about LPs is it's a full experience, right? It's a piece of art. As well as it's a piece of musical art and visual art, which Miss Maggie, you are a visual artist as well.
Yes, so we got to put a lot of my artwork on there, and I'm just so thrilled how it turned out. There's also pictures from our music videos that we shot all in the Charlotte area, actually. So you'll probably recognize some places like the McDowell Nature Preserve, and in downtown Shelby, there's actually this carousel. That we used for One Sunray at a time.
Oh, that's great.
Mm-hmm.
Those videos, a lot of the videos are out right now.
They're great. I was
they're
gonna,
on
now,
YouTube.
Life After Life, is that the video? I'm trying to remember all of them, but is that the one in the horse, when you're in the horse?
Oh, that one's carriage? Horses a few different times because we like them.
I was going to ask, you guys are fans of horses.
Well, she's a horse rider.
Excellent. We do have a song called Ride Towards Home that's like a love song for horses.
Oh.
So there's a lot of horses in that one. And then One Sunray at a Time features a carousel.
Okay. Well, and I love it too. You guys have hang on, guys, look.
You haven't seen
not
that part yet.
Not just is this full, the art is just beautiful on this whole sleeve, including the actual record sleeve itself.
Right.
But the record is a beautiful
turquoise
blue
with
wonderful photos on the inside as well. I mean, just this is great. I mean, this is a wonderful. Look, listen to it on your phones and everything. Do that, but buy the record. This is beautiful.
There's a lot of love in it.
There's
a lot of detail.
Well, it's like a piece of art.
It is,
and that's what you know. When we were releasing vinyl back in the '80s, '70s, musicians use their you know platform to have really cool art.
Yes, on the
that was a big
attraction. Such a big space for it too. Yeah. It just calls for it.
Even CDs used to have. I mean, it still used to be somewhat
remember
of like it was important.
Box?
Yes,
CDs first came out. Everybody was crying foul because now we have an artistic format that's only about 5 or 6 inches.
Right.
And everybody was saying, well, what about the beautiful artwork? So they remember, some of your listeners will remember this, the long boxes. So you went into a record store, now a CD store, and the long boxes were 12 inches yes. tall and about 6 or 7 inches wide. So you could still get yeah. quite a bit of artwork on there. And then but it was such a waste because, you know, that cardboard you rip
on the
apart,
inside, yeah.
Right. And then you never see that again, you know. But that was like an awkward transition period, you know.
Yeah. I agree. Well, and even things like, you know, posters.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Concert posters, mm-hmm. music posters were like they were a thing. You know, you collect them.
I have a couple
from some shows. Like I have like a Fish one from, because like some bands will still do like commemorative, like, one like tour, like yeah. a tour post that you buy at like the merch station, right? Like that too. And like sometimes they get like an original artist to do like a piece, and that's fun. But I feel like they don't do them as much as like it's just not a thing as much because everyone advertises online.
Online, right.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, that's just the best method right now.
Well, I guess it's less trees.
I mean, there's something positive you can dig out of most of the awkward transitions, I guess. I mean, we you know, artists will finally get around to figuring it out. But we shouldn't forget completely about the digital part. Most all of our songs are up digitally already.
Right.
And in the form of YouTube. So we did music videos. And you go to Spotify. Actually, the first song that we did on the show, the Dolly Parton song, that was just added to a big Spotify editorial playlist.
Wonderful.
Called Grassroots. And they selected as the lead-off track. That's number one track
wow.
on that big playlist.
Congratulations.
And, you know, the playlist has, you know, who's on there? Zach Bryan and Sierra Farrell
yeah.
and Marty Stewart and, you know, a bunch of cool people. Molly Tuttle's on there a lot. And so they selected our track from this new album as the lead off track.
And Mark and Maggie O'Connor kick it all off.
Yeah.
Yes.
And that's kick it all off.
And Apple Music and Tidal. And,
now, Mark, you played on the original cutting of that as well, didn't you? Is that right?
That's right. He's on. Actually, it's funny how we discovered that song.
That's right.
I was just checking out some Dolly Parton songs to see if there was one I wanted to learn how to sing. And I just loved the message of this song, yeah. Wildflowers. And it just really stuck out to me. And I liked the fiddle playing on it.
Yeah.
And then Mark's like kind of tuning
room.
In from the other room. And he's like, hey, that's me.
I love that.
Because she was listening to it several times in a row. So that meant that was a cue to me that she was actually transcribing lyrics by this point. You know, she was listening to it over and over. I'm going, just so you know, you're listening to your husband on the fiddle.
I thought I liked that fiddle.
Playing with Dolly Parton.
Yeah.
And Linda Ronstadt and Emmylou Harris. So I was on the original single. That was I think it went number one, number two, some way up there. And it was, on a Grammy winning album.
Yeah.
That was, we recorded that in 86, came out 87.
Wow.
And that was one of my very, biggest sessions that I did. That was cut out in LA.
Oh, wow.
So they used the LA crew out there, Russ Kunkel on drums and Lee Sklar on bass. David Lindley, who we lost just a couple of years ago or about a year ago, he was playing. He's a great multi-instrumentalist. He played with Jackson Browne all those years. He played slide and auto harp. He played miscellaneous. And I was another miscellaneous instrument guy. I was playing mandolin, mandola, guitar, played a lot of viola.
Yeah, how many instruments do you both play?
Well, Mark played
how many don't
them.
You yeah, how many don't you play, I guess, should
we actually
say.
Played all of them on this album because Maggie also plays cello. Oh. And so
well,
there's a few
with big quotation marks playing.
Well, she got her chops going during the pandemic.
Yeah.
We had extra time to practice.
Sure.
I can make some sounds on the cello.
And so there's a few places where in our songs on the new album, Life After Life, where we add a string quartet in a verse.
Wow.
And Maggie plays.
And it's not just any string quartet.
Yeah.
Because we have these beautiful instruments at our Mark O'Connor camp That we award to students every year.
Camp.
Maybe we'll tell you more about
segment.
That.
Yeah,
but there's a
list.
Great story with these instruments.
All right, we're going to take another quick break and then we'll come back. I'd like to talk to the audience about the O'Connor Method and the camp, and then we'll come right back. Know the Scene. Thanks, everybody. All right, we're back. Know the Scene. Today's episode with Mark and Maggie O'Connor, again, coming to Kane Center for the Arts May the 3rd. Make sure to get those tickets at kanearts.org. We've been live with them in the studio today. Great to do a live person in person. This is pre-recorded, full disclosure. But they are live here in front of me, which I don't get to do as often as you'd think, because a lot of times we're having to zoom in people.
Yeah.
Which works fine too. It works fine too, but I like it better this way.
We actually postponed doing this so we could be here in person.
Yes, I appreciate that.
Because we live nearby, you know, I mean, we live on Lake Wiley, the other lake.
Yes, the Southern Lake, the Northern Lake and the Southern Lake, right? I like it.
So we just drove up, 45-minute drive. Let's do it in person since we're here. So we found a day that we all could get together.
Yeah, we appreciate that. Appreciate you guys making that happen for us. Before the break, we were jumping into, I love that we talked a little bit at the beginning about my experience with your music through education. And our experiences through music with education, because you all also are committed to music education yourselves through the O'Connor Method.
Yeah.
Right. And we were talking about how we had used some string instruments from our camp, the Daniel Pearl Memorial Instrument that we award to students every year. So there's these four just world-class instruments, two violins, a viola, and a cello that were made in honor of Daniel Pearl by the maker, John Cooper, who makes Mark's violins. Mm-hmm. And there's a beautiful story about the history of how these instruments came to be. And you can read more about that on our website, too. But every year we award these instruments to deserving students. They get to, they're nominated by the faculty at our O'Connor Method String Camp.
So held right here in Charlotte.
It's in Charlotte. Yeah.
End of July.
July 28th.
For 5 days. And Megan and I will be teaching there every day, including some more faculty.
We do all American string playing. Mm-hmm. We have orchestra. We have jam sessions. Mm-hmm. So it's like everything you'd ever want to do on a bowed instrument.
Now,
we will show you how to do it.
When are this year's registrations already open?
It's open now. Sign up right now.
O'ConnorMethod.com.
O'ConnorMethod.com. And is there an age range that's best?
All ages.
Seven and up.
7 to 70, 80. I mean,
we have adult beginners come.
So you can be a brand new beginner and come.
Yeah, yes. Absolutely.
Are you bringing your, everyone has to bring their own instrument?
Yep.
Bring your own instrument.
Your O'Connor Method book.
And we divide up into classes that make sense. And then we all get together for different social settings. We have all camp orchestra for an hour, camp jam session.
Recitals. So you can perform. And we have classes in the mornings based on your level. So you learn from the books.
Wow.
And it's all repertoire that's American music. It's great American music. So it doesn't really, whatever level you are, it's just all great music.
And did I read correctly as well that you do award a certain amount of like scholarships?
Yes.
As well.
Yeah, and that Daniel Pearl scholarship, we have students come back every year to pass on the instrument. So they get to play these instruments for a whole year and then return them. And during the pandemic, we had basically awarded the students that had gotten the instruments for an extra year.
So
they had, you know, we thought, okay, maybe it's a little unfair if they keep it for 3 years during the pandemic. So they ended up back at our house, and that was right when we were recording Life After Life overdubs.
Oh.
And so you're going to hear them as an orchestra and sometimes as a quartet.
On the Stevie Wonder song.
Mark and I,
orchestra.
Yeah, we recorded.
We just stacked and stacked us playing.
We made our own orchestra.
These four instruments.
That's awesome.
And it's awesome sound. I mean, we have one of the local favorite musicians and directors, John Tosco.
Tosco Music Party.
He gives us a scholarship every year, too.
That's wonderful.
So you can apply through Tosco as well.
And we also, I make these violin peg necklaces and jewelry and stuff.
Yeah, because I was going to say, you don't just do painting visual arts, you do jewelry as well.
Yeah, I do make all kinds of things. And so we raise money to give scholarships to camp as well through various organizations. Like I think Gardner Webb, we get a lot of scholarships too. But Yeah, it's a great experience for students of all ages, all
That's
levels.
Great. So everyone, O'Connor Strings Camp, the end of the summer, end of July. You can go to O'ConnorMethod.com
exactly
to register and to learn more.
Yep. And, you know, we're actually going to do teacher training as
any
well.
Any teachers out there.
So any string teachers that want to learn more about the O'Connor Method, and Mark's going to do a whole teacher training for, I think, 4 days.
Mm-hmm. The week before.
I think that's on July 22nd.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you can also learn more at O'ConnorMethod.com and learn how to teach this stuff. Yeah.
And then we've got the, you know, that's this summer. But before that, we've got the big Life After Life tour.
That's right.
We're heading out to Idaho, Montana, come back to Nashville for a week of press. We're here at Kane Center for the Arts, mm-hmm. May 3rd. Then we leave from here. We go to Minnesota, Minneapolis. And we go to Boston, New York City. I know this itinerary by heart now because I've been talking to all these folks. Richmond and Annapolis. And Pennsylvania, and we might keep adding a couple of things. So it's been fantastic, and we're so excited to release this new music featuring Maggie and I as Mark and Maggie O'Connor.
Yes. Well, it's all the tracks that I've heard are amazing. The stuff we've heard today is, again, just fantastic. Thank you so much for sharing it with us today. I think you guys were going to maybe share one more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this is our current single out on digital. So you can check this out. And it's also on YouTube. We've got a beautiful music video that Maggie mentioned earlier. We did the music video. We shot it in Shelby at that beautiful old amusement park. 1953 vintage carousel.
Wow.
And small children's train. And it's just a darling video. And I wrote this song for my daughter. It's a song about just watching daughters grow up.
Mm.
And as a dad, you know, finding things to do to entertain them, you know, get them to an amusement park. Mm. And then, you know, you're in endless lines all day long, wanting to take the same little ride over and over again. Right. And we hope that a lot of people love this song and relate to it. We've got lots of great feedback.
Projection to the future too,
and then the final verse talks about getting ready to go to college. You know,
so I have a 5-year-old daughter.
Yeah, there
oh, you're
you
gonna
go.
Love this.
So,
yeah. You're gonna love it. You're gonna relate yes. to the first verse, and then you're gonna be scared of the second one because that's when you're starting to look for colleges and saying goodbye, and you're on your own. You know,
don't talk about it.
All right, one sunray at a time. Okay. One, two, three.
Morning light awakes you, exciting plans today.
you write to me of the love and future you see. Morning light inspires you, the things you achieve and create. Show me light.
And Maggie O'Connor, thank you guys so much for coming today. Coming May 3rd, Kane Center for the Arts. Get those tickets and buy their new record, Life After Life. Y'all have a great day.